Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bikaji Foods International Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Gyanchandani from S-Ancial Technologies Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Welcome to Bikaji Foods International Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. From the management, we have today Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Managing Director, Mr. Rishabh Jain, CEO, and Mr. Manoj Verma, CEO. Now I request Mr. Deepak Agarwal to take us through the key opening remarks. After that, we can open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, and namaste. This brand is Bikaji, is introduced in 1993 from my father. Bikaji name is inspired from the city Bikaner and the Rao Bika, who was the king of Jodhpur and founded the Bikaner. Before 1993, we had a brand name Haldiram Bhujiawala. Haldiram ji was my great-grandfather who started this business in 1940, and he himself manufactured the bhujia and sells at the one shop only. Then later on, the bhujia day by day is becoming famous from all the part of India. Bhujia has one special ingredient, or two, three special ingredients. One is moor dal. Moor dal is, you know, only crop produced and farmed nearby the Bikaner and in Rajasthan itself. Whereas all other kind of pulses are, you know, cropped, farmed and, you know, from Argentina to Australia, but moor dal is only nearby Bikaner. That's why bhujia is famous for the Bikaner. My grandfather has, you know, shifted a few. My cousin grandfather shifted to Kolkata and some other part of the countries, and everyone has started this, you know, legacy with the name of Haldiram Bhujiawala. Later on, in 1970s, my father generation has come, and my father are four brothers. One of my elder uncle has shifted to Nagpur in 1972-73, which is called today Haldiram's Nagpur. His second is my father. Two of my uncle, younger uncle, had shifted to Delhi in 1982-83, which is called today Haldiram's Delhi. Later in late 1980s and early 1990s, there were some misconceptions about the territories and about the, you know, brands. Everyone has decided to be restricted with some territories each, and, you know, they have divided some part of north, south, east, west. You know, as my father was a visionary and he never wanted to settle for a specific state or for a specific area, that's why he introduced his own brand that is called Bikaji. Today we are the manufacturer of sweets, namkeen, different papad, frozen food and different categories. In the board we have a, you know, three family members. One is my father, Shivratan ji. You know, then is me, myself, Deepak. Then, you know, my wife is Shweta Agarwal, who is, you know, looks after all process production, a full-time director. Then we have a non-executive director and Sachin Bhatia ji from the Lighthouse. Didi Gumar is from the IIFL, which is recently, you know, in the last two days she has resigned as, you know, there's no. Then we have a, you know, Siraj Ahmed Chaudhary ji as an independent director. Rita ji. Siraj ji is, you know, on the Tata Consumer Board and as an ex-Cargill chairman. Then Richa Manoj Garg, she's the CS and compliance and looks after and already on the board of three to four listed companies. Mr. Pulkit Bhatawat from Ahmedabad, who is, you know, as an advisor of two, three companies and he's a CA. Nikhil Vora ji is, you know, from the Sixth Sense and, you know, he's one of the finest investors among the new categories and new products companies. Vipul Prakash ji is right now the CEO of Make My Trip and had a experience in the sales of 20 years in Lay's. In our team we have a, you know, a professional, us, that is, you know, our Manoj Verma ji, who was in the last Mrs. Bectors and had a, you know, great experience in Cadbury's and other others. He looks after the sales marketing as our Chief Operating Officer. Whereas Rishabh Jain, who's our CFO, is with us from last 2015. And Rahul Joshi is, you know, from the last 1 year, and he looks after all the legal and, you know, compliances. And Sandhudiyaji is, you know, with us from the last 30 years, and he looks after all the finance, accounts, and, you know, corporate affairs. In a small snapshot, I just would like to highlight that we are the third largest manufacturing and ethnic snack company in India. The largest manufacturer of Bikaneri Bhujia among all the players in India. The second largest manufacturer of handmade papad after Lichar. And with this, you know, handmade papad, we give at least employment to more than 5,000 women every month by making papad handmade. And we have almost around 500 direct distributors in India, almost, you know, 2,000 distributors, direct and indirect. And, you know, strong export network, more than 25 countries. And the CAGR, you know, it's around 24%. The last FY22 revenue was 1,600 CR. And we have a huge range of, you know, our snacks, which has, you know, snacks, papad, sweets, roasted namkeen, frozen food, many other, you know, different kinds of extruded snacks, chips, western snacks. So we cover almost all the kind of products. And our core market is like, you know, Rajasthan, Assam, Bihar, Northeast, and part of Haryana, Punjab. And whereas, you know, our focusing market is like, you know, Uttar Pradesh, Delhi, nearby Delhi, Punjab, more of Haryana, Gujarat, and Karnataka. Recently, we have introduced the new products, that is, you know, Khatra. You must be aware that this is a very big legacy of Gujarat. And now, as in, you know, the people are getting more healthier and, you know, in roasted namkeens and roasted things. So we have also introduced multigrain bhujia, jowar mix, and some other roasted namkeen as well. And we are, you know, taking more, introducing more better products. Here, I want to highlight that, you know, we have a 5 manufacturing locations. One is Bikaner. The another one, you know, last year we have opened in Guwahati, Assam, in South India, Tumkur, Muzaffarpur at Bihar, and October we have started as a contract manufacturing unit at Kanpur. Kolkata are also, Kolkata city is where we have a CMU also, and upcoming one is in Patna, so that you can see in the Indian map. So these all the manufacturing units where we manufacture all western snacks, extruded snacks, namkeen, and trying to be, you know, reduce the logistic cost and enter into a focus markets. So now for the sales and marketing distribution, I would like to invite Manojji for further.
Thank you, Deepak ji. So, as Mr. Deepak Agarwal spoke about, you know, our strategically located, you know, manufacturing units, which were existing and the ones which we started over last 18 months. So, each of the units which has come up outside Bikaner is a well thought through stuff, so as to support our core markets. So, core markets for us are Rajasthan, Bihar, and Assam. That's where about 70-73% of our business comes in. And each state is pretty, you know, distant or far off from, you know, if you look at from Bikaner or Rajasthan. So as to support their sales and the kind of growth what we are witnessing there, we came up with plants in Guwahati for Assam. We came up with plant in Muzaffarpur, which is in Bihar, and upcoming plant very soon coming up in Patna as well, which will complement our Bihar business. Then as if we look at, you know, talking about our focus states. So focus states in the south are Karnataka and Telangana. So to support these states, we, you know, acquired the plant in Tumkur, which is patent plant, what we call. And for UP, which is one of the largest market, to support this, we came up with a plant in Kanpur. Now talking about a pan-India network, so we're a very strong brand across country with a strong presence in 25 states and 4 union territories. Besides India, we have a footprint across 25 countries with export revenue contribution of about 2.6%. If we look at our distribution network, so within India we have 8 depots, 46 strong super distributors or super stockists, and a direct distributor base of about 507. Besides this, if we look at now our footprints in terms of retail coverage, so it's about 2.6 lakh outlets, that's what we cover directly. We are in process of automation and trying to, you know, to put it up on our lat-long, so all in the system. So as I speak, we have about 136,000 listed outlets for which we have lat-long and complete details of these outlets. This is what is part of our strategy as well to increase our direct reach. Talking about our marketing initiatives, so we are amongst the largest spenders in the marketing investment within the category we play. So we are into all vehicles, all channels of communication, so starting off radio, so across channel, be it big FM, big G, any of the radio channels we speak about, we are present. Then we talk about now out of home, so which is about hoarding. Then, you know, doing BTL campaigns in the stores so as to drive offtake and build our brand further. Shop and shop presence in modern trade outlets, for example, Reliance. Then we also participate in the conferences and in the exhibitions which happen overseas so as to complement our export business. We also spend on ATL programs like Kaun Banega Karopati. We were present, we were associate sponsor for that, which is a national program. And besides this, there are a lot of other activities, you know, which could be stated as, you know, the print media and also sponsorship of certain, you know, movies which come up kind of stuff. So our presence is strongly felt across. Talking about our business performance, so if we look at our quarter performance, so the revenue growth quarter three over last year quarter three is 15.6%. If we look at, you know, within the categories, so ethnic snacks, if we look at, has grown at 21.4%. Packet sweet is 17 has grown by 17.3%. Western snacks is grown by 23.8%, and papad has grown by 14.5%. Here I would wish to take a pause and just, you know, bring clarity that, you know, packet sweet has a huge component of seasonality and which is Diwali season. So if we look at, you know, this negative growth is not because, you know, of any other reason other than the Diwali this year was little earlier than what it was, little later than what it was last year. So hence there is a shift between quarter two and quarter three of packet three. Otherwise, you know, when we look at our secondary numbers, so they are seamlessly in line with what we did in quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three. I would request Rishabh to take the revenue numbers.
Yeah. Thank you, Manoji. So overall, on a revenue 9 months basis, so we've grown at 24% plus over 9 months. We closed the revenue of plus 1500 crore rupees compared to 1200 crore rupees which we done last year 9 months. Our ethnic snacks have grown at 22.6% compared to last year. Package sweet had grown overall at 17.6%. So if you see, in third quarter, we've grown in package sweet due to festive season. This year, Diwali was in October versus last Diwali was in November. But overall, when we see 9 months numbers, we've grown at 17.6%. Western snacks, so our major focus is in Western snack munchkin segment, being where all the plant is supporting these two categories. So we've grown at 95% plus in our Western snacks category. Our papad segment is growing 19% plus. So across each category, we've grown at double digit number. On a key quarterly highlights basis, so our revenue has grown 15.7%. On YTD basis, we're growing 24.2%. EBITDA, so we close a EBITDA of close to 151 crore rupees in 9 months versus last year. We have done close to 94 crore rupees in 9 months number, and we've grown at 114% compared to quarter three last year. And overall on 9 months basis, we've grown at 56.7%. On a PAT basis, so we've grown at 195%. So last year we've done a PAT of close to 11 crore rupees in quarter three versus this year we've done a PAT of close to 31.7 crore rupees. So basically there was a lot of effort which has been gone, and also there was reduction of few edible oil prices, few mode prices. So there we increased the gross margin close to 2.5%. If you see, the gross margin was close to 28% versus quarter three, your gross margin has improved and it has gone up to by 2%, and we've gone within a gross margin 30%. This has been basically for two reasons. One, edible oil price, which has been moved down, and other and our key products like Moong Dal, that the price has been softened down. So there are also largely we also engaged quarter big four, one of the big four, who's helping us to set up our RTM, set up our distribution system in a core and focus market. Also, one thing I'd like to highlight that we have taken a decision to merge Hanuman Agro into Bikaji Foods. So we invested close to 110 crore rupees plus in the form of CCD and CCPS. On 1st of January 2023, that company has become a subsidiary and we acquired close to that CCPS is converted into equity shares and our holding was close to 99.65%. In our last board meeting, which was held on 25th of January, we have taken a decision of acquiring balance 10,000 shares from two shareholders of Hanuman Agro. Now this company will become a 100% subsidiary of Bikaji Foods International Limited. We are targeting this merger to be completed by September 2023. So this plant will basically produce namkeen and Western snacks category. And the plant will have a present capacity of close to 60 tons per day. The benefit of merger is basically there is no point keeping two company as this is only a manufacturing company, and also there will be overlapping of managerial work, overlapping of financial, technical, human resource work. So we are targeting to remove this, and also there is a loss of GST because there is input subsidy input which are lying in that books of accounts which will post merger we can use this into our books.
Yeah. Talking about our long-term growth strategy, so as we called out, so there are four pillars. First and foremost is about to implement distinctive growth strategies for markets like core markets, focus market and other markets, because same thing would not work in all geographies. Second was to complement these each set of states, establish strategically located new manufacturing facilities, which would help us, you know, grow both the top line and the bottom line. Third one, what we called out for ourselves is that, you know, we continue to build our brand and further strengthening it, hence the continued marketing investment. And last but not the least is move towards automation, so which is what we are in progress and what we are heading towards, complete sales automation. And it's not just about sales automation, it is also automation across functions. With this, I open the floor for questions or Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on Western snacks. It is highly competitive. So wanted to understand why you want to be here. Doesn't it dilute your brand in terms of being a snacks, Indian snacks company?
So one is, if you look at, you know, the Western snack category, you know, is growing a slightly faster pace than what the traditional snack is doing. Second thing is, if we look at, you know, the split between the certain states, say for example, if I talk about Assam, which is our very strong state where we enjoy almost about 58-59% market share in traditional snacks. But the size of Western snacks there is 65% is Western and the balance 35% is traditional. So it's true for many other states. So while we continue to keep up our focus on traditional snacks, we didn't want to ignore or miss the opportunity on what we have for Western snacks. Because end of the day, channel is broadly the same, outlet is the same. It's only the product, and we did have the capability and capacity to produce that. So we didn't miss the opportunity.
Right. My second question is on the Papad business. You have done well, so it's highly commoditized. So what is working for us in this part of the business?
So
please.
So basically, we are manufacturing handmade papad, and it's largely an organized segment. So we want to, it's close to 8,000 crore market, and there is no organized player in this other than Digit and us. So we want to use this into, we want to make a big brand in papad. And we can take this business to, I think we can double this in next 3-4 years. That's what our target is.
Oh, that was my question. If it is that no other big organized player is there, what was the reason? Because if it was so easy, then other players would have entered, right?
Yeah, right. But actually, it's basically largely, there are few local players that are always, you will see papad is largely unorganized. And there are few local players who are manufacturing, who are making papad in-house and local. So that's how it's taking time, and we are also working on the same to make this market more organized.
Okay, thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shirish Pradesi from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. On the Hanuman Agro, now it's become 100% subsidiary. So maybe anyone of you can give me the help saying that what is it that we can expect in terms of revenue and synergies in terms of margin expansion over the next 2 to 3 years?
So basically, Hanuman Agro, we've done investment in the form of CCA and CCPS in the last 2-3 years in Hanuman Agro. And basically, this company will merge into Bikaji Foods, and from a revenue perspective, so this company is having capacity of close to 60 tons per day. We are targeting, so at a full capacity, it can be turnover close to 300-350 crore rupees type of thing. So we want to use this capacity and make this a main of Western spine lumping business. So basically, this plant will normally is largely serve Rajasthan, Haryana, Punjab, nearby market. And that's how we want to build our revenue.
Rishabh, thanks for that explanation. I'm slightly getting confused. 60 tons per day is the capacity utilization which is going to happen in the future, or it's already at 60 tons?
Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Should I repeat the question?
Yeah.
So I was slightly getting confused. You did mention that 60 tons per day is the already capacity utilization is happening as on date, or is the...
No. It's total capacity which we have right now.
Okay. So what's the current production against this?
So current production is close to 15-18 tons type of thing. Because this plant is recently installed.
Okay. And yeah. When do you think you will reach the peak capacity here?
See, we are targeting in next 4 years, we want to reach a peak capacity.
Okay.
Next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Thank you. My second and last question on the margin front. I did hear you in the morning on the media channel. Just to fine-tune, currently all directionally all the raw material looks benign. And on a QOQ monthly basis, the palm oil prices are also correcting. So in a next 3 to 4 quarter, aspirationally, where would you like to settle in terms of gross margin and EBITDA margin?
See, so gross margin, we want to, so our target is initially to settle at, so in first quarter, we gross margin was close to 24%, which has came in around 30% in last third quarter. And in normally this third, fourth and fourth quarter, there is fresh crop, so price is very low. So normally if you see next 4-5 quarters, we want to settle at around 71% type of costs and 28.59% type of gross margin. So that's an area where we want to settle.
And any word on EBITDA?
So EBITDA, we want to maintain double-digit EBITDA. That's what our target is.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. And thank you for this opportunity. Firstly, sir, what is our ad spend currently as a percentage of sales?
So our ad spend is close to 1.6% when we look at 9 months number.
Okay, and this is going to be the trajectory going ahead also?
Yes. So our target is, so we have parked a budget for close to 2% in our P&L. That's what we want to, because the marketing has given a big boost in our brand perception, and it's also helping distributors and retailers to make a proper offtake. So we want to use this, and we get close to 2% as a marketing budget.
Okay. And our contract with Big B is for what term, sir?
So our contract with Big B will expire at around in October, basically September end or October 1st week this year, 23. So that's the way, and we will look into this where once the contract will come to end, what we want to do as a next process.
Sir, can you give me a ballpark number for what is our gross block, how much money has been invested in plant and machinery, and what is the capital work in progress?
So basically, our gross block is close to 825-850 crore rupees, then which is 9 months number, the gross block I'm telling. 820 crore.
820 crore.
Yeah, close to 820 crore. And so CVP, there is close to 60 crore rupees of CVP is there, 66 crore rupees.
60 crore is the capital work in progress.
Yeah, 66 crore rupees.
Okay, and when will that capitalize, by March 23 or?
No. That will capitalize by in next 6 to 8 months. So we are working on frozen plant. That plant will come in next 6 months. So once this plant will installed in commercial production will start, and then CV will come into the normal crosswalk.
And sir, last two more points. Firstly, on this raw material basket, sir. What constitute the major raw materials, and what kind of integration do we have for them, and where are we sourcing the same?
Yeah, so our key raw material is largely edible oil, then few pulses like moor dal, chana dal, moong dal. So few pulses we are using our core namkeens and bhujia. And normally we are large, of course, edible oil we are using, few oil we are export, we are importing like palm oil, and cotton seed is a local production in Bikaner, in Rajasthan. So these two oil we are using, and then few pulses like moor dal is largely produced in Bikaner, nearby Bikaner. And all the key pulses like peanut, moong dal is produced nearby Rajasthan itself. So we are using that same directly. We don't have any long-term contract as of now, but yeah, we are procuring from largely meal owners directly.
And the cooking oil is palm oil, you mentioned?
Cotton seed and palm.
Okay, but that also raises some the health issue parameters in the long run, sir. Palm oil is, if my understanding is, not the best advisable for on a regular consumption basis. So, what's the thought process of the management in terms of calling it healthy snacks and ethnic snacks, and then the palm oil consumption? What is our understanding on the same?
Yes. So palm oil is not at all a bad oil, or it is not an unhealthy oil. It is a refined oil. And it imports from the, you know, different countries, and we use palm oil more into a western snacks and some of the light snacks, whereas in bhujia and in the some core products we use the cotton oil, which is you know, available nearby Rajasthan and even itself in Bikaner. And we use different oils as per the, you know, crops and as per the market and as per the timings. Sometimes if we get a good price and we get a good oil in groundnut, but that groundnut and all the oils are refined oil, and palm oil is the mostly and highly consumable oil in use in India, and especially by all the players like Lay's to, you know, Balaji, Hazinam and us, and it is not at all an unhealthy oil.
All right.
Even all the biscuit categories and all the snacking categories and all the cream categories, everyone is using the palm oil, and the FSSAI and the government has a very strict rules, you know, and they have a standard and norms, and with the same things we follow.
Right. So one small pointer: how have been the utilization of the cash that we raised in the IPO, and lastly, sir, when we look at your story, definitely it's a consumer-driven story going ahead, and there's a lot of very strong brand recognition all across your branding. But when we look at the investment point of view for investors, what is left on the table for investors to take comfort from when we look at your story and the market cap? Yeah, market cap it is commanding. What is the comfort investors who are looking in your growth story should get from going ahead at these valuations? I mean, what is that differentiating factor that we can command a market cap closer to above $1 billion in this snacks business? So the differentiating factor, if you could
assist. Yeah. So point number one, we not raised any money, direct primary money in IPO. It was all secondary money. So largely this company is good cash generation company. The company doesn't require fund for growth. Company can easily do all the investment by its own cash accrual. And number two, so from investment perspective, so largely see it's a completely investor's call. But yeah, from company perspective, there is very few consumer companies growing at 20% plus CAGR from last 6-7 years. From EBITDA perspective also, if you see other listed player or non-listed player, so we are commanding good EBITDA. So this year we had an EBITDA of close to plus 10%, but you will see last two quarters with an EBITDA of 11% second quarter, and in last quarter, third quarter, with an EBITDA of close to 10.4%. Where you will see the gross margin has improved by close to 2%, so with a gross of 30%. So from EBITDA perspective, we had reasonably strong numbers from top and bottom line perspective. And also this industry is very big. So you will see this industry is where we are serving, like ethnic snacks, sweets, papad. This industry is close to 1.4 lakh crore market, where largely more than 50% is unorganized. So there is a big market which we want to use, and there's a big growth opportunity which we want to use. So that's the growth opportunity which we want. And we have made a reasonably good brand. So this brand is highly recognizable. Amitabh Bachchan is our brand ambassador. And we want, that's from the point, Manoj, if you want to.
I think Rishabh has already said it. So the endeavor here is to shift from, say, unorganized to organized as well. Even today as we speak, 50% of this category, almost 50% is unorganized. So that's again an opportunity wherein, you know, creating a brand, getting a right distribution, expanding it to all corners of the country and, you know, on the globe. So we see as an organization, you know, a huge growth opportunity.
Thank you, sir, and all the best. Thank you for the elaborate.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rahul Ranade from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Deepakji. Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question or a couple of questions rather from my side. Can you help us in terms of volume growth you would have done, let's say, for the quarter or even 9 months, if that's possible, across the different businesses?
Yeah. So we had done on YTD basis, 9 months, we had done a value growth of close to 24%, and volume growth we had done close to plus 16%. And across each category, we had done double-digit volume growth. Be it ethnic snacks, be it Western snacks, within the budget volume group.
Okay. So roughly, let's say 11% like volume and 4-5% of pricing is the way we should think about it.
Yeah. And so this industry in 9 months has grown at, so overall industry, when we see other industry data, this industry is growing at close to 15% around, and we've grown at 24% plus. So we are largely 1.5, 1.6x of what industry is growing.
Understood. And just one, you know, kind of bookkeeping question. So in the presentation, if I look at it, you know, revenue from operations, and I try to add up the revenues from the four categories that we talk about, there is some marginal difference that is left over. Is it, you know, some miscellaneous category of products that we should look at it like that?
There is miscellaneous category, like we have a restaurant in Bombay, and there are a few miscellaneous category which will add into this. There's a difference between this.
That's very small.
Very small.
Yeah, this is marginal difference. Yeah. So that was that. And lastly, sir, I just wanted to understand in terms of growth. So let's say a volume growth, we would have done around 16% YTD. Obviously, we would have had this benefit of a, you know, June quarter of last year being, you know, poor. So on a normalized basis, what would the volume growth we should think of going forward?
So see, of course, we cannot comment on future numbers. But yeah, overall, when this industry is growing at 15-16%, and that's what the data industry experts are giving, we also want to overgrow this, like what we're in the last 5-6 years. And one more thing. So in next 15 to 18 months, we are looking at more volume-driven growth compared to price-driven growth, what we've seen in last 18 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm. So if you look at, you know, our quarter one growth, volume growth was also around, you know, 13-14% kind of a stuff, right? Certainly quarter two was high for whatever reason. But going forward, I mean, as Rishabh said, I think that's the volume growth which we certainly can, you know, look upon.
Okay. And pricing obviously varies depending on what RM scenario you are in, and
right,
depending on how much we have to pass through. But you know, kind of a mid-teens volume growth is the way we can look at it going forward also. Given the fact that we'll be, you know, kind of focusing more on distribution efforts also, probably that's a fair way to look at it.
Yes.
Got it. And just on the retail outlets, just, you know, kind of missed that point. So did we say 2.6 lakh is the retail coverage right now?
No. So I said yes. I mean, our direct reach is about 2.6 lakh outlets. But, you know, we are in process of rolling out our DMS. So what we are doing is, you know, we are getting them listed with lat long, you know, mapping also as well. So if I talk about, you know, our listed number of outlets, it's about 1.36 lakh outlets, which, you know, a year back was about 86,000. That's where we started from. But yes, you know, the number where we reach directly across is 2.6 lakh outlets. Hope I've clarified this.
So 2.6 is direct. Out of that, 1.36 is covered by DMS. That's the way to look at it.
That's on automation is 1.36 lakh outlets, right? Our reach, if you look at, you know, across country, would be about 8.5 to 9 lakh outlets.
And where would this, you know, number go to, let's say 3 years out? What's the number we can look at across these, you know, direct and also in terms of overall, what would the internal target be?
So by end of, say, next 2 years, if we look at, so our direct reach, so these on DMS, automation reach would be about 2.5 lakh outlets, that's where we'll reach. And our indirect distribution should be somewhere close to about, it's 11.5 to 12 lakh outlets. That's what is the target we carry for ourselves.
Okay. The corresponding number for which is 8.5 now should go to
12.5 to 12, yeah, because that's the indirect uncontrolled coverage, but that's the number we're driving for.
Understood. So just in terms of reach itself, in the next 2 years, we are almost, you know, adding around 40% in terms of reach, right? If I were to take 8.5 and compare it to 11.5, we are adding around 40% in terms of reach. So that itself is a decent volume growth driver to think of it that way.
I think that will not be a very fair way to, you know, look at it, because what happens is that even today, our reach in the core states, which contributes to about 72-73%, is very high. Right, so our reach is going to come from focus states. Their throughput may not be exactly same what it is in the core states. But yes, I think if you look at over 2 years, that's the kind of, you know, volume growth or the value growth which we expect. And distribution would be one of the key drivers. That's what is the identified growth strategy is.
And out of this 8.5 to 9 lakh in terms of overall reach, how much would be in our, you know, core states currently, and how much would be in focus states? Just wanted to understand the ramp up for that will happen,
yeah,
in the focus states.
Look at, out of 8.5, about 6.6 would be in core states only, so which is the largest, right? Followed by focus states, which is about 1.1, and the rest is others.
Okay. And the incremental addition in terms of reach will happen both in core and focus, is it? Where we are adding 3.5 to 4 lakh outlets, that will happen,
yeah,
across both core and focus, or more tilted towards focus?
It will be more towards focus, because core, if I look at, just to, you know, put a number on table, so Rajasthan has about 4.2 lakh outlets as a universe, of which we are already present in about 3.2 lakh outlets, so which is almost about 70-75% kind of a reach. So their scope is not as much. Now, there are certain states where, you know, our numeric distribution is not even 5%. So that's where is the higher opportunity. So focus will get us more stores.
Understood.
Thanks.
Sorry to belabor on that point. So 75% of our distribution is bringing in 75% of our sales, right? So the throughput, at least for now, seems to be, you know, kind of fairly comparable between core and focus then. Wouldn't that be, you know, a correct way to think about it?
Could be, you know, but if you look at that, it's very concentrated. Now, if you look at size of market, what we are servicing to. So universe, if you look at it, about say 8 million outlets is the universe. Of this universe, or it is 80 lakh outlets, it's only 12.5 lakh outlets which are sitting in these core states, right? So that is, you know, over-indexed. So the opportunity on the focus is far, far higher. So currently this is incidental, the what numbers are, you know, talk the way it's talking to each other. 75% distribution and 75% of business. But, you know, this will be a scissors, distribution will go up and business will not be exactly in line with that. Because focus state will not have as much throughput initially.
Got it. And sorry, just last question from my side on Hanuman Agro. I missed the current capacity utilization on that. What would that be in terms of, you said that it can ramp up to 60 tons per day, but what is it currently?
So its total capacity is 60 tons per day, but their current capacity utilization is close, around 30-35%, 33%.
33%. Okay. Got it. Sure. All right, sir. I'll step back.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Gaurav.
Yeah. Sir, my question, you know, is with regards to this particular quarter. If we see, our gross margins have expanded by around 300 bps on a QQ basis from 27% up to 30% now. While, you know, we haven't seen the commensurate increase in the EBITDA margins, and that is largely because of the other expense increases. So if you can help us out, you know, what are these line items about, and are these sustainable going ahead, or, you know, there is some one-off in this?
Yeah, Gaurav. So basically, you're right. So gross margin has increased from close to 250 basis points. And our EBITDA basically has, in second quarter was close to 11%, which has reduced to 10.4%. So what has happened? So all this, Diwali was in October mid. So our major ad spend was in October, which has came in second quarter. So our ad spend, which average was close to 1.5% in first 6 months. So it has increased to plus 3% in third quarter. So it has largely beaten our ad budget. But you see, on an average basis, if you see 9 months number, our ad spend was close to 1.6%. So on an overall basis, yeah, Gaurav.
There was this incremental ad spend, you know, which got bunched up in Q3, and which is why your margins are a bit lower. Is that the right way to understand it?
Right.
Okay. With regards to your gross margin, we have now started to hit that 30% mark right now. Going ahead, we will also be doing a lot of Western snacks, which I believe will be a bit margin dilutive. That this new category kind of that you're entering into. So in this light, how should we look at the overall gross margins going ahead? Should we be able to maintain these levels? There is some challenge which we might see going ahead.
Gaurav, so basically, we want to maintain this, but ultimately we are targeting gross margin plus 28.5%. That's what we are targeting for next at least 2-3 quarters. That's our target. Because few crops which are at lowest level right now, which will increase in next 3-4 quarters, because normally their crop season is in December, January. That's what crop season is. So for next 6 months, from first and second quarter of next year, this price will increase, a few prices will increase. But yeah, we are also taking price rise. But yeah, we are targeting 28.5-29% plus gross margin. That's our target.
Sure. And sir, is there a possibility, you know, given the fact that you have now good knowledge of these the raw material prices, given you've been dealing with them since quite a long time, so do we take a hedge, you know, on the these raw materials, or maybe buy some cover so that, you know, we are protected for adverse movement on the these raw materials?
So so we are normally we are doing purchase. Normally we are not storing anything or we are not doing any contract farming type of thing. But yeah, we are largely doing some small purchase for next 6 months, 5-6 months, and but that is very small, from 25-30% requirement. Balance we are normally purchasing on spot. On spot means we are normally doing giving purchase orders close to 30 to 60 days type of thing. That's for giving purchase orders for key commodities.
Sure, sir. I got it. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Deepak ji and team. I have one question related to logistics. When you say you are getting into new states or entering in a new state, I assume that it is for all products, including the Bikaneri, Bhuji and everything. So in that case, I just wanted to understand how this logistics works here. So you travel, your goods travel from Bikaneri to other states. In that case, what is the incremental cost that is required or incremental increase in cost for this logistics?
So currently your logistic cost is close to 3.8%, 3.8%, but yeah, overall ultimately we'll see when we have made all the plant, like in Muzaffarpur, in Guwahati, in Kanpur. So our objective, and we'll manufacture Western snacks and namkeen category. These two categories will largely manufacturing in all the plants. So our target is to keep improve more efficiency, and we will largely produce only two categories. We'll not be bhujia, papad and sweet. The three categories will always produce in Bikaneri. That's our target is right now. And these two categories will manufacture across all plants of India. So overall on the spend basis, our logistic cost, we're targeting to keep the same, because the Western snacks have more logistic cost. But as we are manufacturing in the nearby location, so we want to we want to try to do the same, the 3.6-3.8% of the logistic cost. That's what we have taken a budget.
But when you travel far, like for example from Bikaner to Karnataka, for that matter, or states in southern side, the cost won't increase much because you have to manufacture in this Bikaner and then transport.
When you see, when we are manufacturing chips or Western snacks and namkeen, so largely...
No, sir, I'm not talking about other products, only about bhujia.
So bhujia, that cost will remain same. We'll manufacture here, Bikaner only, we'll sell to all part of India.
Hello?
Yeah. So this bhujia sweets, that will manufacture, that logistic cost will remain same. Like for Karnataka also, our logistic cost will be same. Like in Assam or in Bihar, logistic cost will be what we have right now.
Okay, clear. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question on the line of Pratit Vajani from Union Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Pratit.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have a slightly long-term question, slightly long-term. So we've seen your gross margins from 40-42% going down to 39%, and now you are doing a quarterly basis 30%. So now, what is your long-term gross margin target?
So on long-term gross margin target, so see, currently we are at 30%. We want to sustain this for at least next 3-4 quarters. And overall, our gross margin target is we want to increase to 2-3% more. But yeah, in next 3-4 quarters, we want to maintain this between 28-30%. That's our target is.
Okay, so with the geographic expansion also, this would be sustainable is what you mean to say, right?
Yeah, because we have, with geographic expansion, we are also making expansion at plant level. Like we have installed a plant in Guwahati to cater for the Northeast market. Like in Bihar, we have 2 plants came up. Like in UP also, which is a focus market, our plant has started in August month. So we also strengthening our back-end operation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. A few follow-up questions. One is on positioning and pricing. How do you compare with Haldiram's? Because ultimately, both are strong brands and many markets you'll be competing also. So, for example, if now there is some deflation, who takes the price cut first? Is there one leader and rest of the players follow that in the coming days?
So how it works is that it's either or, one of us would take the lead. You know, sometimes, you know, they are ahead of us and sometimes we are ahead of them. Talking in terms of price parity, so we are more or less in line with what Haldiram is. And, you know, however we spend more on branding, therefore, you know, we don't want to be, you know, in any which way, you know, under indexed to the base of the brand. In terms of, yes, for our focus state where we are weak, what we do is that we offer a couple of percentage higher than what Haldiram would be doing. So that's the stimulus for the retailer to sell our brand there in its store.
No, but there will be flip side in your strong states. There could be another player who wants to enter, or existing player would also want to do the same 2% lower, which you mentioned in your focus state. So doesn't that happen? Then what do you do?
No, so see, end of the day, whosoever be the leader in the focus state, what we are aspiring to be, we are aspiring to be a challenger brand. Not that we are looking to be leaders in those states. So if let's say Haldiram enjoys say 50% market share, 50% is governed by the rest of the company and it's a fragmented category. If you look at, you know, top 3-4 companies put together will also be about say 60-65. 35% is the share which is completely fragmented stuff. So our phase one would be to get, you know, each shares from them as well, and also try and see that what best can we get out of the leader is.
Right. My second question is on the Q-commerce and e-commerce. So definitely your category is impulse category, which is quite well placed on the Q-commerce. So could you tell us, when I see the key Q-commerce sites, how do you be placed? Are there some other players who are much ahead of you? I understand the number one player which you have been highlighting in this call. But how are you placed in the Q-commerce and e-commerce?
So we certainly see this Q-com as a coming big opportunity, and I think that's how, you know, consumers are getting ease, and therefore, you know, this business is only going to grow. So in terms of our presence, we are present across all Q-com channels, right? The thing is that, you know, it's about, you know, making your presence there in the channel at all point in time. And that's the task our sales team is working towards, that how's that, you know, we can ensure our fill rate, improve our fill rate in these stores, in these channels. That's the opportunity what we are working on.
Right. Final question. We have seen the largest listed FMCG players do their own D2C websites, and also they have been aggressive on the M&A. They have been acquiring D2C startups. Of course, in the healthy snacks also, we have seen many D2C startups launch. Of course, now the liquidity has dried up. So there is a bloodbath in the lot of these. Would you evaluate some of these because it will lead to good learning also, or you think in your category better to do it through the third party?
No, so B2C, if you're talking about, we also have our website wherein we service directly to the consumers as well, right? So that's there, and you know, the team is promoting that stuff, so you will see that it will only go up. Howsoever, the category we are in, which involves a huge logistics cost, so practically, you know, it would not be, you know, possible for all consumers, so or for us to cater the larger geographies or larger consumers on that. But yes, you know, in terms of presence, like all most of the other companies or our competitors do, we also have our own channel there.
And are you divulging numbers? How much is Q-commerce? How much is e-commerce?
So e-com, Q-com is pretty small and subset of our modern trade business. If I was to give you a number, it's about 8-9%, which comes from modern trade, and of which is a subset, which is Q-com is pretty small. Would be, you know, say about 15-20% of modern trade.
And e-commerce?
E-com and Q-com put together, I'm saying, that's what it is.
Okay, then so it is pretty small. Versus the rest of the FMCG, then it's much smaller.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty small. See, you know, if you look at the cost, unless and until, you know, someone buys more than 300 rupees, you know, these even Q-com channel also start charging. So therefore, you know, for these bulky product or low density product, it will eventually grow. For now, you know, it's more of a convenience which consumer looks for, and hence companies are to be present. So they cannot not make a choice on that.
Okay, got it. That's all for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question, line of Pankaj P. from Funds Pro. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Deepak ji. Good evening, Verma ji. Myself, Pankaj from Bikaner Funds Pro. And my question is, like, the growth we have on YoY, how much percentage is coming from our core states? How much percentage is coming from our focus states? Can you elaborate on it?
Yeah, so our presence in the core state is continues to be, you know, as high as about 28% growth is coming from our core states, followed by focus states, which is about 24%, and others, as we said, that, you know, they are, it's our footprints there that contributes to the later part of it, so about 19% there.
Okay. And the second question is that, and we are incentivizing like retailers in the focus states. What companies planning to do in our core states to maintain the same level of market share, leadership position in the market in the core states?
So I'm pleased to inform that, you know, we continue, if you look at last 2 years, year on year, you know, we are gaining share in our core states. So that speaks the power of our brand. What we are doing is, so that's what, you know, in fact, you know, when I was talking, that part of our strategy, we are looking at, you know, these core focus and other states differently and different intervention. So in focus state, our growth strategy is to spread, to increase our reach, because that's where the growth will come from initially. In our core state, what we are doing is we are doing about, you know, upgrading, selling, you know, high value packs. We have identified, you know, we have identified focus SKUs. I mean, basically that's nothing but an endeavor to how to improve our gross margin. So this is about premiumization. So focus on these products is far high. We are also now expanding our direct reach in core markets, so as to go down top strata 5,000 plus in these markets as well. So these would be the drivers, you know, for core state.
Okay, and the last question is from my end, sir. Like, we have a Bikaji exclusive franchises, we have in most of the cities, and the numbers which we are presenting as a retail outlet, can you bifurcate that, the small groceries of how many, like how much they are, and how many, like that exclusive Bikaji franchisee in that numbers?
Yeah, so basically we are very, very limited Bikaji. We are not into Bikaji giving any franchises to any person. Largely all, we have very, like, we have one store in Bombay, which is type of Hazirab outlet. That's it. And we have just a branded stores, very limited, like 30-40. That's it. Largely all are pure distribution business.
So those branded store are also part of our marketing investment, what we do basically. Otherwise, no, we are not into model, and nor do we think about it in at least next few couple of years.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us on the call. Besides this, if any of you have any kind of question, can come through our bankers or can reach out to us. We'll be happy to take. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Bikaji Foods International Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.